His name will be called, I'm sorry, his name will be called from Isaiah 9, verse 6. Today's message is titled, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Somebody say it with me, Wonderful Counselor. Say, his name shall be called, Wonderful Counselor. All right. Isaiah 9, 6, we're going to use one verse of scripture for this. We've got other scriptures in our lesson, but this is our principal verse for the series. Isaiah is prophesying here, and you have to read what comes before it to understand fully why this is so important. But Isaiah says, he says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Somebody say it with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. I am actually, unlike some in charismatic Christendom, I am actually a proponent of counseling. I just think that if you're going to get counseling, you ought to get counseling from somebody who knows what they're talking about. In other words, I'm not going to tell you what you should do. I'm going to tell you what I do. I don't take counsel on my marriage from people that have a bad marriage. I don't take counsel on my money from people that are broke. These things just... Now, you say what you want to say about Donald J. Trump, but I guarantee you he could tell you something about some money and tell you how to make it. Are you hearing me? Say what you want to say about Jay-Z. I guarantee you he can tell you about some money, how to make it, right? So the point is that if you're going to seek counsel, if you're going to seek a counselor's advice, you ought to make sure that that counselor, not that they have degrees, because guess what? Some of these people got more degrees than a thermometer and they still crazy, okay? You need to seek a counselor that is able to give you sound counsel. Find the scripture for me. I meant to put it in my notes. I don't think it's there. It says there's in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. But you have to know what the counselor's mindset is. I have some notes, please. Hold it for me. Just hold it. Get it and hold it. In the King James Version of Isaiah 9:6, it reads this way, the way it is on the screen, Wonderful, Counselor. And so when Isaiah, in the King James Version of this, it says that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful, Counselor. Now listen, I have no problem with this because I'm okay with his name simply being Wonderful. I think his name is Wonderful. Somebody say, his name is Wonderful. His name, now what does the word wonderful actually mean? It means to cause wonder or amazement or to cause miracles. His name does all of that. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, demons would flee. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, the sick would recover. That's wonderful. But in most other translations, including the NASB, which we use, there's another version I really like called, I think it's called the Tree of Life version. It's a messianic Bible that my pastor turned me on to. In most other translations, it is done just like we've done it here today, Wonderful Counselor. What it literally means is that he is a wonder of a counselor. In other words, His counsel is so good and can do so much that just his counsel opens up the possibility for miracles. You got that, didn't you? Okay. I'm glad you got it, because I see, because if they had gotten that, they'd be screaming right now. Just his counsel. Now, let me tell you some personal stories about the counsel of God. A few years ago, Carol and I, we were living over in Douglasville, and I had a Mazda Millennia, and there was a part on the engine that went bad. Now, I know y'all don't know this. I know you can't tell, but I actually like fixing stuff. I like tinkering with stuff. The part on the engine went bad. You can go ahead and go to another screen. The part on the engine went bad, and I had to fix it myself because I didn't have money to pay somebody to fix it. And so I called because I figured I would just buy the part and put the part on. But this one part, it was called a belt tensioner. This one part was $650. Somebody say, woo. So I did what I normally do. I said, these things wreck every day. Let me see if the junkyard's got one that works. And so I started calling, trying to find one that the junkyard had one that worked, but they wanted $375. I had no peace in my soul. Give them $375 for a used part off of a wrecked car that I had to remove myself. This is the devil. Amen. So I sat there and I began to counsel with the Holy Spirit. I sat in my chair and I prayed and I listened and I prayed and I listened. And the Lord told me, he said, son, just go out and take the part off. So I went out, got my tools, and started taking the part off. I got it off. Okay, Lord, I got it off. Now what? And I just sat there. I sat it by my chair, right by my chair. And every so often I would pick it up and I would look at it and I would ask the Lord, what now, Lord? What now? Guess what? The Lord told me, he said, go ahead and take it apart. So I got my tools and I start. And when I loosened that thing up, I didn't realize how spring loaded it was. That joker went. It was like a bomb going off. Parts went everywhere. Parts went everywhere. And so I said to the Lord, I said, now we're going to find out if you're really in this, because I have no idea how to put this back together. But I sat there. Carol, I'll tell you, I literally fell asleep with it next to me. And the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. He said, here's how you fix it. And I began to look at it. And guess what? It made sense. So I started, and I said, okay, I'm going to need, long story short, I got it fixed. Went down, had to have somebody weld something on it. Went down, got it fixed. Came back, put the part on the car. The car worked with that part on there until we sold it. The counsel of the Most High. What does God care whether your car rolls or not? You got to remember, Jesus walked everywhere. It seemed to me that God would have just told you, you need to walk anyway. But I did walk. I had to walk 2 miles to go to the daggone welding shop to get it welded. There was another time I had bought a car. I had bought a Mercury Sable, blue Mercury Sable. I bought it from a guy and got it home. We bought it. The temperature was warm outside. Well, guess what? When it got cold, guess what I found out? Heat don't work. We tried everything. Went to the mechanic. The mechanic said, oh, we're going to have to tear the dash out to repair the heater core. The heater core is bad. This is going to cost you X amount of dollars. Sounded like the devil to me. I'm not spending that kind of money. What did I do? I went and prayed. And I took counsel with the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting there one day minding my business. And I looked, my son was there, and I said, hey, I said, let's go outside. I said, I know how to fix the car. He said, no, you don't. I said, watch. We went outside. I took the radio out, reached my hand in like the Holy Spirit showed me. And all I did was tap on something, put the radio back in, the heat came on. Mechanic wanted $500 to do that. Soul of the Most High. He's a wonderful counselor. And when you take counsel with him, he will do things and allow you to do things that you never could have imagined possible. But you're going to have to know how to take counsel with him, and you're going to know how to obey, listen to, and obey his counsel. There are far too many people that ask God stuff. They either don't wait for the answer, or when the answer comes, because it's not what you want to hear, you go off and do your own thing. Then you somewhere crying, talking about, I don't know how, why God let this happen to me. Then you come up with these stupid theologies. Everything happens for a reason. Yeah, it happens because you was dumb. You asked God something, and then when he said what to do, you did just the opposite. Because you didn't like it. And what you literally say to God when you do these things is you're literally saying, my wisdom is greater than your wisdom. I know better than you what I need. Okay, Lord, you're my source with most things. Now I'm going to take care of this. Point number one. Jesus is a counselor with the power to resolve. Now, this is something you got to really pay attention to. Jesus is a counselor with the power to resolve. Now, as someone who has been, I know y'all can't tell, but I have been through counseling. I know y'all can't tell. I know y'all can't tell. But I've been through some counseling. I remember when I was working in law enforcement, I didn't realize somebody said I need some more. They didn't think I heard them, but I heard them. I heard them. That's all right. That's all right. No, that's the deacon's friend. He's sitting back there with his friend. Yeah, I know. Now you're lying in church. Just keep going. You're gonna keep making this worse. I was working in law enforcement. I had been working there for quite a while, and I didn't realize that just going to work every day, I was starting to suffer the effects of PTSD. I was starting my temper was becoming very explosive. And just different things that was happening. And I remember, I don't know if it was my wife or my mother, but one of them told me, you need to go talk to somebody. In other words, don't talk to me, but find somebody that's got a license and something that can help you. And they didn't even want me to go talk to the pastor. No, this ain't a pastor issue. This is a whole nother. You need to talk to somebody that got know how to deal with some brain stuff. You got some stuff going on. And so I did. I went and talked to, I still remember her name, Dr. Jerry. And here's what I learned going to counseling. That counselors are trained to listen intently. And they are trained to take notes very well. But a good counselor never gives you a solution. What did you major in? You majored in psychology. And what does a counselor do? Never give you an answer. So it goes something like this. Well, I've really been struggling with my temper. Counselor, tell me about that. Well, you know, normally when the kids are playing and they're doing what they're doing, I'm usually pretty calm about saying to them, hey, clean up your mess. But this last couple of weeks, it's been, get that stuff cleaned up. Really? What were you feeling when that happened? Then I'm just telling you how it goes. And then you talk about how you felt when it happened. Then she said, so how do you plan to resolve it? In other words, she's a counselor, but she does not have the power to resolve. She doesn't have the power to fix anything, so therefore she puts it back on you. I'm paying you all this money. You can't offer me one solution? Not one solution. But Jesus is a counselor that can resolve every situation. Let's look at the scripture. Watch this. This is John 9, verses 2 through 7. Watch this. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back what? Jesus turned this whole therapy thing around. They asked the question, who sinned that this would happen? Jesus, being a good therapist, said, "No one. This is so the glory of God can be revealed." And then he went a step further. He didn't just give them an answer. He went a step further and demonstrated to them, here's what the glory of God would do about this problem. So he's a counselor that fixes things. The Bible tells us the story of a woman. The Bible talks about the woman at the well, right? And so she comes to the well to get water. She comes in the heat of the day because the women of the village didn't want to be at the well with her because she had slept with so many of their husbands. So they didn't want to be at the well at the same time as her. She didn't want to be at the well same time as them either because it was going to be a beat down. So she goes to the well in the heat of the day. And there's Jesus sitting there. And the Bible says he begins to inquire about the situation of her life. But watch what he does. He doesn't just inquire. He confronts it so that he can resolve it. And he so resolves it that now she starts running through the city. "What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man." She starts going and telling everybody, "I met this man and he told me everything I had ever done." And the Bible says that she starts a citywide revival that, listen, the people kind of figured, okay, this is somebody who knows men. So if she's saying that there's something different about this man, maybe we should go pay attention to what she's talking about. Jesus didn't just talk about her situation. He resolved it. Are you hearing me? Next. John 16, verses 13 through 15. "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into what? All truth. All truth." I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, "Well, you know, everybody has their own truth." I said, "No, they don't." I said, "No, they don't." I said, "Truth, in order for it to be truth, it has to be immutable. It has to apply equally to everybody." I said, "Everybody has their own facts." I said, "Facts change." I said, "So no, everybody don't get their own truth." It says, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. I want you to go back to verse 13, please. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, here's the point I want you to see. Is that God takes us, the Holy Spirit takes us where the truth can minister to us and resolve our issues. The problem is that we don't really like truth. We like the truth we want versus the truth we need. And so you know, the guy, his wife came out with a new dress on. And she said, "Does this dress make me look fat?" He responded by saying, "Is it a magic dress?" Y'all didn't get that. She asked a question that she did not want an honest answer to. She asked a question with a preconceived answer in mind. "This is what I want to hear." What she wanted to hear was, "No, dear, that makes you look absolutely stunning." But that's not what he said, is it? He told the truth. And the truth is always uncomfortable, because the truth is what challenges us to make us change, to make us get better. So I'm gonna tell you. So a few weeks ago, I got up, I was getting ready to go somewhere, and I'm standing there and I'm looking in the mirror and I said, This isn't me. I'm you know, the truth was staring back at me. "You way too heavy. You need to get something done about this." Now, you can notice the truth and do nothing about it. So what good is the truth? If you see something and you know the truth, the Bible says, "To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin." So you know the truth. You just don't want to do nothing about it. The Bible says it's sin. So I stood there in the mirror and I tried everything. I tried everything that I thought would work. I wish the pounds would go away. That didn't work. I bound and loosed. I bind the calories in this cake in the name of Jesus. That didn't work. I cast out the spirit of fat. I cast the fat out of this now. Didn't work. I had to deal with the truth. And in order to deal with the truth, I couldn't over-spiritualize it. I couldn't pretend like I wasn't the problem. My problem was I was having lift problems. I kept lifting the spoon to my mouth. And now it was hard to lift my behind out the chair. So I made some adjustments. Nothing drastic. I just said, I'm going to do this. Here we are 12 pounds later, in about a week and a half. I ain't did nothing drastic, but them 12 pounds is gone, and I'm glad I cast them out. Yep. Told them, "Go to another land and never return." I had to deal with the truth. The truth is, you're eating too much. You've gotten into the spirit of gluttony. You are sinning by not controlling your appetite. This is the truth. I told you, truth is seldom comfortable. Truth is most of the times confrontational. And it's why we don't like it. Next. Jesus knows exactly which path you should take. Jesus knows exactly which path you should take. Now, we just read from John, what was that, John 9, verses 13 through 15? John 16, 13 through 15, where Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, it said, he will what? Guide you into all truth. So he's not going to just tell you what's true. He's going to help you go to what's true. He's going to help you follow the path of truth. Well, guess what? Jesus knows the path that we should take. In other words, he has already mapped out our lives. He has already mapped out our purpose. Well, if Jesus mapped out my life, why do I keep ending up in these messes that I'm in? Because you keep doing your own GPS. See, Jesus has got a GPS for you. That's is 3D plasma screen GPS. It's got a nice little sound to it. It tells, make a right at the next turn, please. You know. But you sit up there with your crayon and start painting your own map. And look, no, Lord, I want to go this way. And here's what's interesting about the GPS that Jesus designed. That when you go another way, unlike the GPS in your car, it doesn't say reroute. In other words, the Bible says this. The Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So here's what happens. You start going from the path, and what God's GPS does is it says, you're no longer on course. You need to turn around. You need to make a U-turn. Stop. Don't go that way. And you just keep going, no, this way is shorter. This way is faster. This way works better. How did I end up in this ditch? How did I end up in this stupid relationship? How did I end up with this crazy man, this crazy woman? Tell you how. You need to get back on course. Now, here's how gracious God is. He's so gracious that he makes room for your course corrections. In other words, he already knew you was going to be stupid and make a left when he said go right. He already knew. Some of y'all at home, y'all don't like the word stupid, but I don't have a doctorate degree, so therefore I don't have a more expansive vocabulary. God knows you're going to be stupid, and he knows you're going to do some stupid stuff. And so he makes allowances. He sits there, and here's the thing. I often picture God, I'm talking about me now, I often picture God when I do my stupid thing, I often picture God sitting there going, I love that crazy boy. Y'all come here and watch this. Get ready. I'm going to have to send a whole host of angels to post his bail. Because he getting ready to do something real stupid. What channel are we watching? Oh, we watching the Comic Relief Channel today. This dummy. Scripture. Watch this. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you have to go, must go. I command you to go. In other words, there's some leeway here. There's some leeway here. In other words, I'm going to give you instruction. I was a Boy Scout. And as a Boy Scout, they told us how to always tell when where north was. Right? They gave us instructions. Here's how you know when where north is. Right? And we could always figure out where north was because they gave us instructions. Here's what you look for. This is where north is. Right? I'm going to give you instruction and I'm going to teach you. In other words, I am going to make it plain to you why this makes more sense. I'm going to make it plain to you why you should be seriously considering what I'm offering you. Then he says, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. In other words, even after I tell you what you should do, I ain't going to leave it all up to you because I know how crazy you are, so I'm going to keep watching because I know you can't follow instructions. Well, Lord, I just want to do your will. No, you want to do my will as long as my will is in accordance with your will. Right. But Lord, I just want to please you. No, you want to please me as long as you can do it your way. But Lord, I know that you've called me for this, but I just don't think that I should have to go through all this suffering stuff. Silly rabbit. Silly rabbit. Don't you know that suffering's part of the program? Next. Jesus is always available. Now, this is an important one because I told y'all I had a counselor and I got into a bad situation. So I'm dealing with this PTSD, you know, dealing with what I was going through in this prison situation. And I don't forget, something happened and I was set on go. I mean, like 0 to 150 in less than 2 seconds. My mind was like, go down there and just shoot them all, blow up the whole place. I mean, I was in crazy mode. And so I called the counselor because that's what I was told to do. If you get in trouble, if this starts to overwhelm you, all you have to do is call. That's what they told me. Just call. So I called the counselor. Guess what I got, y'all? Answering service. Answering service says something like, you have reached the office of Dr. So-and-so. She's unavailable at this moment, but if this is an emergency call, go to the emergency room. What I love about Jesus, I never get an answering machine. I never get an answering service. I don't even get his assistant. I get him. He's always available. He's always available. He's always there. He's always ready to respond. Scripture. John 14. That's why I kept getting these scriptures. I had so many scriptures from John. I was getting them all mixed up in my head. John 14. 16 through 18. Watch this. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, what's that? He will give you another helper, which means that Jesus was the first helper. He said, so I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Wait a minute. Now, preacher, you just told me truth is uncomfortable. And now you told me the Spirit of truth is here as my helper. Whom the world cannot receive. Now, this is why you got to watch, letting the world tell you what truth is. The Bible says the world cannot receive truth because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Go back to 16 real quick, please. So, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word that's translated helper in this text, go to the notes, please. The word that's translated helper in this text is also translated advocate or counselor. I will ask the Father, and he will send you a counselor. But the counselor he's going to send you is the Spirit of truth. So what he's telling you is, sometimes in order for God to give you counsel, in order for the Spirit of the Lord to counsel you, you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. See, you can't try to make God do things your way. And most of us are guilty of that. Well, Lord, I need a financial blessing. But you do know I have a degree in the social sciences. So if you could arrange a job where I make $150,000 and I do this for this long, and by this time, No. Mm-mm-mm. See, when you take counsel with God, you go in understanding He's the expert, and He knows what's best for me. And so I go and say, your word says that you know everything that I need. So we ain't even going to talk about needs today. Talking about needs is a waste of time. You already know what I need. So here's why I'm here today, Lord. I'm here because I want to do better in your kingdom. I want to understand your way of doing things better. I want to understand how the hows and whys of what you do. What does that have to do with getting your needs met? Because He said that if you seek the kingdom, the things, come to those who are seeking the kingdom. You cannot be seeking the kingdom, and you cannot be seeking the kingdom's righteousness if you are not listening to, taking counsel with, the Spirit of truth, which means that since He is the expert on the kingdom, and since He is the only one you know, including yourself, who happens to be righteous, then what I have to do is shut up, sit down, listen, so that He can tell me what I need to do to resolve this problem. And He's so gracious that He gives me a standing appointment. Have you ever, now I know this probably never happened to nobody but me, but have you ever gone to God about something and He says to you, wow, it's been a while, where you been? Seriously. Because see, we take vacations from God. We sing songs, lying. We sing songs that make a liar out of us. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Yeah, He is. What about you? Are you on time? Because, see, we want God to do things our way. Now, in order for God to do things your way, guess what your name must be called? Wonderful Counselor. I looked up Charmaine, it doesn't mean Wonderful Counselor. I looked up Shanae, it doesn't mean Wonderful Counselor. Don, it doesn't mean Wonderful Counselor. Trust me. So we got to understand. He's my Wonderful Counselor. I have to trust Him. I have to trust that He's going to lead and guide me in all truth. I have to trust that He's got a solution to my problem. I have to trust that He's going to tell me the right way to go. You know, I'm just not one of those people that, I don't know if this whole idea of blind faith is really a God thing. I mean, I have to know some details. But then that ain't faith. That ain't faith. Faith is when God walks you out to the edge and says, step. But Lord, there's nothing there. I ain't asked you if there's anything there. I said, step. It's only when you're still looking for where the step's going to land, that's not faith. It's only faith where you get over, okay, I'm not even going to look. I'm just going to go ahead and go. Man was an evangelist. Traveling evangelist. This is back when Don was young and they did evangelism by horseback. and so he's riding his horse. He just finished a great revival and he's riding his horse and he comes across some pretty rough terrain. And the horse is kind of struggling to get through the terrain and the horse stumbles The man falls off the horse. He rolls down the side of a hill towards a cliff. And the only thing there is a branch. And he grabs a hold to the branch. And he's holding on for everything that he has. And he says, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." He starts crying out, "Lord, help me." So he starts screaming, "Somebody, please help me. Somebody help me." Nothing. He starts screaming louder, "Please, somebody throw a rope. Help me." Nothing. Then he remembers, Jesus is always available. I'll pray. So he goes into some deep prayer. "Father, I know it's not your will for me to die here today. I'm depending on you to rescue me. Get me out of this situation. I know that I can count only on you, and I know that you're able to rescue me." Right in the midst of the prayer, he hears a voice thunder out of heaven. The voice says, "Son, do you trust me?" "You know I trust you, Lord. You know I do." "Son, do you really want my help?" "Lord, I not only want your help, I need your help. Throw me a rope." The voice says, "Let go of the branch." To which the preacher responded, "Help, is there anybody up there that can really help me?" Sometimes when God brings truth, when that spirit of the wonderful counselor starts talking, it's not always what we want to hear. Can I tell y'all something that'll scare most of you? Once you start taking risk with God, you can never stop. That's why most people don't start. Because once you start, there ain't no stopping. Because he's always going to say, "Good, do this. That was good, now do this. That was good." And every time he says, "Do this," it challenges you even more. To the point to where you'll go, "I don't want to do that." And he'll say, "If you want to get to where I'm taking you, you're going to have to do this." "I don't want to." "If you want to get to where I'm taking you, you're going to have to do it." He's a wonderful counselor. I can tell you that he's never led me wrong.
Come on, let's give the man of God a hand. I'm going to tell y'all, this word spoke to me in a very relatable way. The very first point, it said Jesus has the power to resolve your issues. I go to counseling, and I've been seeing a counselor every 2 weeks for about 3 years now, and not for the same thing. We, you know, life changes, things go on, we talk about different things, and it's helpful. It works, it helps me work through things, it helps me set my mindset on things. But the pastor wanted it to be clear that it was because of my mama and not because of him. But I digress. But that point spoke to me so clearly, because my counselor has never resolved a single issue for me. In the 3 years that I've seen her, she's never resolved a single problem, because that's not her job. Her job is to be a sounding board. Her job is to bring insight and perspective. And her job is to help me achieve my goal. But she can't solve the problem. But Jesus, on the other hand, can not only look at the problem, but he can also give the answer. That he can change the circumstances, that he can change the situation, that he has the power to give wise counsel. When Pastor said that him being a wonderful counselor meant that his counsel alone opened the door for miracles. Like, that shifted my whole perspective on talking to God about things. Because just allowing him to speak into the situation means that he is aware of it, he's cognizant of it, and he also can do something about it. That he's not depending on my strength to solve the issue, because he knows that I am incapable of it. And the other thing that also stood out to me when Pastor was talking about the scripture, when it says that that I have to go, so I'll send a helper, I'll send a counselor. That my counselor, I see her every 2 weeks for an hour. And I talk to her only about the thing that I feel like talking to her about. So she only knows what I've told her. But Jesus comes into situations that I don't even let leave my lips. That he's given me counsel in things that I've never even truly consulted him about. That I've never opened my mouth about it, but because he heard it in my heart, he stepped into the situation. And so this word was so good to me. It was so eye-opening. It changed my perspective when we sing Christmas songs and we talk about who Jesus is. That it completely changed how I see him as a wonderful counselor. And so we the word was good, that revelation was awesome. But in order for him to be able to counsel you, you have to invite him into your heart. You have to invite him into your life. God is not a person who forces anything upon us. That we have to willingly allow him to invade our space. And so if you're in this room or if you're watching this live stream and you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you feel like you once have, but you stepped away, you've departed the faith, that you're not in the place that you once were, and you need a wonderful counselor, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Salvation, the way that the Bible lays it out, is very simple.